back to the Library of Voices SC. I'm Katie, and stepping in for my co-host Pamela today is the lovely, the wonderful Anderson. And we have a special treat for you today. We have a special guest with us, Joe Ryan from the South Carolina Attorney General's Office. So welcome, Joe. How are you doing today?
I'm great, Katie. How are you?
Doing pretty well.
Good.
So just to get us started, I want to ask, what exactly is the Attorney General's Office? Describe that environment, and exactly how do you fit into that?
Right, so it's a pretty common question that we get. The Attorney General of South Carolina, Alan Wilson, is the most powerful prosecuting attorney here in the state. So at the Attorney General's Office, our job is to prosecute cases that other agencies just aren't equipped to handle. I specifically work for a group called the Internet Crimes Against Children Task Force, and we are regionally headquartered at the South Carolina Attorney General's Office. My job specifically is the education coordinator. So what I do is outreach and education for students, parents, and professionals all over the state of South Carolina.
Wow, that's amazing.
It's pretty kind of exciting. A big group of people that you're working with.
Yeah, it sounds like a lot of people, and it is. Definitely is.
How did you get started specifically in internet safety and kind of fighting cyberbullying?
Yeah, so it's not something that I started out my career thinking that I would end up doing. I started my professional career when I got out of college working for the Richland County Sheriff's Department. And after working there for a couple of years, I transitioned from being a regular patrol deputy to a school resource officer. And once I started working in the schools and working around students, I started to see all of these issues that were arising with those students that were tied into technology and social media specifically. And so for me, this was sort of a natural transition because I started to realize that I wanted to be able to address those issues on a larger scale instead of only being able to address them with one student at a time on such a small scale.
So what does that mean, a larger scale? Like, how do you operate on a larger scale?
Yeah, so for the most part, my typical day consists of traveling to a school in South Carolina and speaking to as many students at that school as I possibly can. So if we make it to a middle school or a high school, we generally try to do grade level assemblies or even school-wide assemblies so that we can speak to hundreds or thousands of students in one day and give them as much information and knowledge as we can so that they can take steps to prevent themselves from being put in any situations that might put them in some kind of danger. And they also will take steps to prevent themselves from doing anything that might get them in trouble in the future.
Like what?
Right. Yeah. So, man, that's the $1 million question, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, there's so many ways these days.
Sure. A couple of the basic tips that we really focus on, one of those is making sure you're taking care with your personal and private information, making sure that you are not telling people online information that you wouldn't give to a stranger that you met on the street. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we see teenagers and younger children having trouble making that differentiation between sharing that information online and giving it to a random stranger that they would meet in person. Mm-hmm. So not sharing things like their full name, their date of birth, their address, their phone number, what school they attend, pieces of information like that, we really encourage them to keep to themselves. Their opinions oftentimes can get them into a lot of trouble with their friends. And we in the education, right? Yeah, we in the education world refer to this as drama.
And, oh my gosh.
And a lot of that drama starts online. And so we really want to encourage them to be very mindful of what they say and how they say it and how that's going to impact the things that they encounter when they're at school.
Right, because especially with cyberbullying, this day and age, it affects so many different people. It can be really hurtful.
Sure. Cyberbullying is something that a lot of times adults don't really give a lot of credit to because they feel like bullying has been around for a really long time and cyberbullying is no different than any of the things that we went through when we were that age. But actually, cyberbullying is a lot different for a couple of reasons, right? So number one, cyberbullying doesn't just take place at school, right? Cyberbullying can happen as soon as they get home and put themselves in their room. Once they get on their smartphone or their laptop or their tablet, they're exposed to the same people that were just bullying them at school. Mm-hmm. another aspect of that is that when you get bullied at school, you know who the bully is.
Right.
But when you're bullied online, oftentimes those people are able to be anonymous or just conceal their identity in some way, shape, or form, which makes it difficult to deal with that situation. And then the last way that it's very different from the way we might have experienced bullying when we were in school is that that material can be seen by a lot more people now. Right. If we were bullied in the classroom, maybe 20 or 30 kids were exposed to that. But now if we're bullied online, it can be shared where hundreds or thousands or tens of thousands of people can see that information almost instantly.
Yeah. Viral news stories are so much more commonplace than they were years ago. I guess it makes sense with the advent of the internet.
Yeah. And it makes it much more unfortunate because at least with the school day, if someone's being bullied, it's confined to that amount of time. Cyberbullying, it's 24/7.
Absolutely.
So one of the other things that we read about when we were kind of checking up on your bio and vetting you as a candidate for this podcast was we saw you've talked to more than 40,000 people in the past year, something like that.
Yeah, so the number is a little dated. Like I said, I haven't really updated that in a while. So since I've been with the Attorney General's office, February of 2015, I've personally spoken to over 60,000 people in the state of South Carolina. Most of those people are students, again, here at schools in the Midlands, the Upstate, and the Lowcountry, but also parents of those students. We speak at a lot of PTA meetings and technology nights and things like that. And then we also do trainings for professionals, and those can be law enforcement professionals, social workers, legal professionals. So anybody who might benefit from getting information on that type of training.
So how many presentations is that? Because we read over 500 presentations, but you said that was a little dated. 500 is astounding. So I'm wondering how many more?
Yeah, as far as that number, that's not one that I pay attention to too much. My bosses constantly try to remind me of how many presentations I give, but I try to ignore that number. For me, it's about the number of people that I reach, and I'm not really concerned with how many presentations I have to give to get there. So I'm sure if it says over 500 that that's accurate, but I couldn't tell you how many more we're talking about at this point.
Right. That's still, for me, that's a lot to even imagine. So my question is, how in the world do you do it? How do you have the time and the energy? And how do you do outreach?
Yeah, so it's difficult because this position is constantly evolving. So the position as education coordinator is something that's been around for a few years now, but really the position has not had much growth since it was created. And in the beginning, it really was just a person who went to schools and spoke about these topics to students. But now we're trying to branch that out even further. What we would like to do is create resources that are accessible to people all over the state of South Carolina, and let that be one of our primary ways of getting that information out there. Because right now, it is pretty difficult to reach that many people as just one person. Because our task force is affiliated with almost 100 different agencies here in the state of South Carolina. However, as far as the education and outreach goes, it's really just me. So traveling to all those different places every single day does take a toll. And we know that as one person, I can't reach as many people as we would like to. As impressive as those numbers might sound, you know, we would like to double or triple them by using other methods.
Definitely.
So what kind of resources, you mentioned resources that you are providing to people that you're talking to, what kind of resources are those?
So right now, we are working on a couple of different projects. We are working on launching a new website, which hopefully will be ready to go January 1st of 2017. That is our goal. The website will be scsafetynet.com, and we're hoping that parents and students will be able to go there and pull basic internet safety knowledge and resources, as well as request presentations to have someone come out and teach them about this material. We're going to be linking to a lot of other existing resources already, websites like Common Sense Media that already put out a lot of this information. You know, there's no reason for us to reinvent the wheel.
Right.
We know that there are a lot of great places out there that give this information away for free. It's just going to be our way of directing people to that.
So what other current projects are you working on?
Right. So As some of your listeners might not know, we recently worked on a project here with the South Carolina State Library, with you, Katie, specifically, in creating a series of bookmarks that have been distributed across the state to different libraries, okay. both public libraries and school libraries. And that has been a great way for us to reach a lot of people, to give them the information about where to go and where to find more information, and just making them think twice about those decisions that they're making. So those physical resources are something that we're focusing on a little bit more. And we just finished up with the printing of our new pamphlet or brochure, whatever you want to call it. And that has a lot of information more directed for adults, more directed for parents about how to talk to your kids about this stuff, and giving them more resources as far as places to go to find out more information. So we're going to be distributing that material when we go to those schools. We're going to be handing those to the schools so they can put some of them in their front office, as well as giving them directly to the parents that attend those sessions.
We have four of these bookmarks in front of us, and I'm not just saying this because I am a little bit biased. I did help Joe make them, but they are wonderful tools, wonderful resources, and they're just beautiful. We have different ones catered to different interests, and so if you're more interested in survival and that sort of thing, or Greek mythology, there's something specific for you that you can grab onto, and they have different statistics on the back of each one.
So you mentioned earlier that you have done narration with our library before. So what would you say is your relationship with not just our library, but with libraries in general?
So we're trying to work very closely with libraries because we realize that libraries are a pillar of their community. And what we're trying to do is become more active within local communities. It's great to operate on a state level, but a lot of people don't think that way. They don't think, oh, well, I live in this small town in rural South Carolina. What can the Attorney General's office do for me? That's a very difficult thing for people to make that connection. But if those people have connections to their local library mm-hmm. or another local agency, then we want to be involved there. So I do spend a lot of time traveling to libraries. We do some of these presentations at libraries, and we're contacted by librarians all over the state. Thanks to some of the work at the state library, getting the bookmarks out there and giving us access to some of their listservs, being mm-hmm. able to reach out to a bunch of different areas of the state all at once and having those requests come in. So we do try to work really closely with the library. And unfortunately, to me, you know, we see that attendance, just like it is when we do programs with schools, is a lot lower than we would like. And that doesn't mean we're going to stop trying. It just means that we have to find more ways to bring more people in.
So how has getting involved in internet security, how has that changed how you approach internet in your personal life?
So many ways. Absolutely so many ways. Mainly what I do now is I'm very cautious about the information that I share. And I will tell you that the one thing that I recommend that everybody does is Google yourself. You should 100% Google yourself probably every 3 months just to see what pops up, because I've heard horror stories of people's name and images being attached to websites and material that was not related to them whatsoever. And they weren't even responsible for that. And there's plenty of things that we put out there ourselves that we are responsible for that we probably don't want people finding either. So I would say, just for me, it has been being very aware of what I post to make sure that it doesn't conflict with anything I do professionally. I'm very aware of what I post when it comes to my friendships and relationships that I have. And I always think of those consequences. What might happen if I post this? And I actively ask myself that question before I share anything. So making sure to take that time to think about it and Google yourself, I would say, would be the two biggest changes that I've made.
Did you have to do any training for your colleagues to make sure that they were behaving appropriately on the internet?
These people that I work with now, I am 100% sure that they are clean. Most of them work in the computer forensics side of it. They have a lot of experience digging into computers and social media accounts, and they are very careful about what they post online as well. And luckily for them, most of them are a little bit older than I am. And so a lot of them aren't as involved with social media, which in some ways can be a great boon. If you don't have a reason to be. But we do caution adults and parents specifically of making sure that you do use social media and making sure that you do use technology, and don't think that abstaining from that practice is going to help, because we know that that technology is imperative to our kids succeeding and to even as adults succeeding in this world. So making sure that you don't kind of fall into that trap of, if I don't do it, nothing bad can happen.
So you mentioned Googling yourself. What if somebody were to find something bad that is associated with their name, but it's not necessarily them? What do you advise that they do?
So normally that's going to be hosted on some website somewhere. And the first thing that you would want to do is contact that site directly, find their support contact information, whether that's an email address or a phone number or just a form that you fill out on that site or app, and report that information to them and hope that that information gets to them and that they handle it responsibly. If you're dealing with a reputable website, then they will handle that issue for you. The difficulty comes in when that information is posted on a less than reputable website. And oftentimes at that point, it's going to be very difficult to deal with that. And so that's going to be done on a case-by-case basis, kind of depending on what the nature of the content is and how serious it's misrepresenting you, as far as which agencies can get involved and help you in that, and how seriously you want to kind of tackle the issue of getting that information removed.
As we're wrapping up, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Not really. I think we've done a really good job kind of covering everything that it is that we do. Our task force is something that a lot of people don't even realize exists. A lot of people know that there are adults out there targeting children online, and a lot of people assume that there's someone out there doing something about it, but they don't know who those people are, and they don't know that they're operating on such a local level here in these communities. And one of my responsibilities is not just educating students and parents about how to handle these situations, but letting the general public know that we do exist, that we are a government entity whose entire purpose is to not only educate the public about these issues, but also investigate these individuals, collect evidence, make those arrests, and then prosecute those individuals in-house, because we do have our own standing team of attorneys who only handle these cases. So for us, it's just letting people know that we might not want to think that these things happen. A lot of times we don't like to think that these things are happening within our community, but the unfortunate side of that is that sometimes they do happen in our community. And we want people to know that there are resources out there to help them in those situations, and we are those resources.
Do you have any success stories that you can share about something positive that came about through this training that you've been able to offer?
The most I can say as far as the success rate is we're able to grow the task force very quickly with as many people as we reach. So when I came on board this task force in February of 2015, we only had 53 agencies that were a part of the task force here in South Carolina. So we didn't even have a affiliated agency in every county in the state. But in those short 2 years, we have grown to having, at my last check, 98 affiliated agencies here in South Carolina, to include every sheriff's department here in the state, as well as other local law enforcement agencies. And a lot of that has to do with the outreach that we're doing and the fact that those agencies are needing resources. So they come to us because they hear about it from other people, that we have a connection where we can go to people who have the experience, who have the training, who have the technology. And by working with those agencies, we're able to handle our complaints, and we're able to find those people a lot easier, because now we have a more integrated network throughout the state that lets us handle these cases on a much larger scale.
Well, it sounds like you've been a great resource for the Attorney General's office.
Definitely.
I like to think so.
So we like to keep things short and sweet, so we're going to go ahead and wrap things up. I'm Katie.
I'm Anderson.
And we're keeping it short
and sweet.